Milan and Naples, Max Civili, Rome.
A growing strategic partnership between Azerbaijan and Iran in the energy sector on full display. A collaboration that promises to bolster economic development and energy security beyond the borders of the two countries and in the region, as described by the Iranian Minister of Energy and his visiting Azerbaijani counterpart. A highlight of this cooperation is the near completion of hydroelectric power plants on the Aras River, a vital waterway on the Iran-Azerbaijan border, with construction progress reported at 96%. The strategic importance of these hydroelectric projects extends beyond national benefits, signaling a move towards greater energy independence and regional cooperation, including the creation of an energy bridge linking Azerbaijan, Iran, and Russia by connecting Iran and Russia's power grids through the Republic of Azerbaijan. This follows decisions made 2 weeks ago during the 17th Iran-Russia Joint Economic Commission in Tehran to boost economic relations in different fields. Managing shared water resources for energy production lays the groundwork for more mutually beneficial cooperation, which is why the presidents of both countries will be attending the inaugural ceremony. The projects are in the final stages, promising a significant boost in Iran-Azerbaijan bilateral relations, all in line with President Ebrahim Raisi's policy to expand relations with neighboring countries. Gizum Shahmadi, Tehran.
The top annual analysis of global arms sales found that France has risen to the number two weapons exporter in the world. The gains have often been made thanks to debt from Ukraine, which has become Europe's largest arms importer. French arms sales have soared 50% in recent years and now comprise 11% of the global market. The world's leading arms dealer is still the United States, which controls a record 42% of the global weapons trade. Arms sales to Ukraine has proven to be big business, and it may explain President Emmanuel Macron's about-face on the conflict. 2 years ago, Macron warned that Russia must not be humiliated, but he's recently become one of Europe's leading anti-Russia war hawks. France's top three arms clients are India, which is the world's largest arms importer, followed by Saudi Arabia and tiny but rich Qatar. Africa is still reeling from 40 tons of illegal free arms drops France made in 2011 to support anti-Gaddafi rebels in Libya. As predicted, the weapons soon found their way to Syria, the Central African Republic, Ukraine, and elsewhere. This week, French Parliament approved a 10-year military pact with Kiev, which guarantees billions in more weapons deliveries. Russia continues to gain ground against NATO-backed Ukraine, which is an important reminder that some weapons are made to work under actual wartime conditions, and some are made mainly for sales and profit. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
An unprecedented global movement gaining momentum. Initiated by veteran French lawyer and academic Gilles de Verre, the Army of Lawyers for Palestine now has over 200,000 lawyers of different nationalities on board and still counting as he travels from country to country to promote his grassroots campaign.
We are witnessing a new movement in the world. The atrocities committed in Gaza are no longer only a matter that concerns Muslim countries. Far from it. Here we have a French lawyer that has started an initiative that brought together 300 lawyers from across the world in less than 10 days, and that number grew rapidly to 100,000. And now with the MOU that we have signed at the Iran Judiciary Bar, that number will be rising to 50,000 lawyers. With Iran on board, you can also expect lawyers from Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon to join in as well.
And an optimistic Gilles de Verre, who has already filed a complaint of genocide against Israel with the International Criminal Court, demanding an arrest warrant for top Israeli politicians, including Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
This is going to be a tough battle, without a doubt. But in just a few months, all these lawyers have joined us. This kind of solidarity is unprecedented. We have never seen so many lawyers join hands for one purpose in history. So this is a great sign, because it won't be enough to tell a judge, look, there's no many of us. Instead, we have to be able to defend Palestine with strong legal arguments. And by the looks of things, we have a solid base for that.
His South African fellow companion shedding light on the legal aspects of the matter while explaining how the case brought to the International Court of Justice by South Africa is also paving the way.
The ICJ order specifically spoke about creating a humanitarian corridor and a humanitarian assistance to the people of Gaza. The United States and Israel were saying that the word ceasefire did not exist in the ICJ order. But this is not true, because the humanitarian aid on the ground at scale cannot be delivered without an effective and immediate ceasefire.
It is very clear that we are witnessing a birth of new age. A new movement of justice-seeking people from all over the world is emerging, and that is why while the South African government files a complaint, we see a grassroots movement also taking shape. A very unique one that has brought together lawyers who are seeking justice in the battle between good and evil.
And in the words of these legal experts, this goal is not far from reach.
Lawyers believe that we live in a new era in which this new global initiative will eventually lead to justice for Palestinians. Gisum Shahmadi, Tehran.
An annual meeting of Quran reciters and memorizers with the leader of the Islamic Revolution.
Every year on the first day of the holy month of Ramadan, leader of the Islamic Revolution receives top reciters of the Holy Quran to stress the importance of this very holy book in the lives of Muslims.
In the meeting, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei described the recitation of the Quran as a sacred art, while underlining that the primary objective of this very valuable skill should be to convey the meaning and message of the Quran to the public and society and create the ground for contemplation of the Holy Scripture. Elsewhere in his speech, Ayatollah Khamenei expressed his satisfaction with the abundant number of young Quran reciters in the country, viewing their increase as a blessing of the Islamic Revolution. Meanwhile, referring to the crimes committed by the Zionist regime in Gaza, the leader pointed out that the peak of resilience that is being witnessed in Gaza presently stems from a profound familiarity with and adherence to the teachings of the Quran. Before the meeting, young and experienced reciters and memorizers were very much excited to listen and take a glimpse of the leader.
I am very much excited to recite some verses of the Holy Quran in the presence of the leader. But this is a great opportunity for me to see the leader.
This is the third time I have the honor of attending such a great event. Today I am going to have supplications to recite about the holy month of Ramadan.
Other reciters were worried about the people of Gaza, who are observing the holy month of Ramadan amid the Israeli bombing and shelling campaign.
The month of Ramadan is the month of mercy and blessing. I do believe that during this month, the Zionist regime will face a big defeat.
At the end of the ceremony, the Quran reciters and memorizers held congregational prayers led by the leader of the Islamic Revolution and broke their fast together. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
Iran, Russia, and China have conducted the main phase of a joint naval drill dubbed Maritime Security Belt 2024. After arriving at the northern part of the Indian Ocean, the vessels of the three countries practiced different operations. The joint drills took place in 17,000 square kilometers of water in a region that is an internationally crucial hub for energy and trade traffic. The first phase of the naval drills included live firing at designated surface targets in the Sea of Oman. Various vessels and fast attack crafts from the IRGC were also involved in the exercise. The vessels were armed with the state-of-the-art homegrown advanced weapons. The next phase included the Photo X exercise and offensive formations. The helicopters of the Islamic Republic of Iran Navy and the IRGC monitored the region in all stages of the exercise. Iran's Navy commander hailed the exercise as a successful endeavor to improve maritime cooperation of the contributing countries. The commander also said that Iran expects the drills to expand in the future.
This year, as we expected, regarding the types of vessels participating in the exercise, both China and Russia have increased the variety as well as tonnage of the vessels. So hopefully, we expect more countries to join the drills in the future, especially regional states.
Admiral Irani also stated that regional nations have the capacity to confront piracy and terrorism by enhancing cooperation. The exercises are the latest in joint drills by Iran, China, and Russia. Iran says regional countries are most welcome to take part in the drills that are going to take place in the future. The Islamic Republic has time and again stressed that regional countries are the ones that are truly in charge of establishing security in the region. Mahdi Abbasian, Konarak.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
Supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day He appointed for a rising. To Thee belongs praise, for Thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst Thou willed, Thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to Thee belongs praise, for Thou created, then proportioned, and ordained and decreed, and gave death and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great. whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure. And provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
Us out from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Now, the U.S.-Israeli Holocaust on Palestinians in Gaza has reached its 164th day. The regime continues to up the ante in trying to see how much more misery it can cause the Palestinians. Besides the sniping and bombing of people and structures, starvation is another weapon of choice by the Zionists that is increasingly claiming more victims. Newborns are the first to succumb to starvation, and then other infants and kids. The world is watching the systematic genocide of Gazans as more political leaders give some verbal condemnation but take no action. This while Palestinian kids ask, why is it a crime to be Palestinian in this world? But I'd like to welcome my guests to this program. Amal Wahdan, human rights activist out of Ramallah. And Ali Salam, editor-in-chief of Basira Press out of Tehran. Well, thank you both for being with me. I'm going to start this off in Ramallah and Amal. The regime can kill tens of thousands of people in real time. It can destroy all infrastructure. It can prevent food and supplies from entering Gaza and starve the population to death. Now, the regime can kill patients in hospitals and destroy those structures. Are there any red lines for the regime on what it cannot do against Palestinians?
Actually, it's not only this regime that is waging this war against the Palestinians. If it was only this regime, that would be a different story. But this regime is backed up by the U.S., regardless of the U.S. Rhetoric about, human devastations and crises and all of, public statements that Biden comes up with or his spokesperson. If this regime wasn't backed by the U.S. in particular and the rest of the Western world, it wouldn't last, because we've seen that we're entering the 6th month and the regime is torn apart when we are talking about military performance, security, economic, all of this actually is affecting the Israelis. And we daily read reports by Israeli strategists about the endless war, about a no strategy war. So all that means that this regime is not carrying this war by itself. The U.S. is complicit in it, and the rest of the Western world. Unfortunately, the Arab and Islamic world has done almost zero in terms of this crisis. If we put aside the axis of resistance, of course, and some of the Islamic countries, but the majority of the Arab countries, especially the Gulf countries, the rest of the Islamic world hasn't budged much to come forward to put an end to this crisis. I think it is actually tied up with more, let's say, geopolitical strategy run by the U.S.
Okay, we'll get back to you on that interesting point that you're making. Well, Ali, when we look at the situation that is happening, as we just heard, almost 6 months in the making now, is there any way possible this type of carnage would have been allowed to take place against Europeans?
Absolutely not. As we can see, the world reaction to something like the Russian special military operation in Ukraine, which came as a result of 8 years of shelling constantly on an almost daily basis of the various cities and regions in the Donbas area, Lugansk and Donetsk. And the moment Russia decides to defend these people who are majority ethnic and ethnic speaking Russians, they come in and look what happened. They became the most sanctioned country in the world, even to the point of surpassing Iran in number of sanctions. The media vilified them, and then to the point of even erasing Russian culture like Dostoevsky or Tchaikovsky or all these other significant figures in Russian culture and arts. None of this has been done to the Zionist regime, there's not really an existent Israeli culture. Hummus is not Israeli. These types of things are not Israeli. So they don't really have so much of a culture that we can blockade from the minds of the people. But exposing the truth about Zionism and its global network in various different spheres of the world gets you banned off of Twitter, gets you banned off of Facebook, gets you banned off of Meta. Those are the same thing. And the mainstream media is, you know, not talking about this. It just goes to show who is in control of the major centers of power in the world. And it's these who are having the blood of all these people directly on their hands. These are the criminals. But because they control the media, they can flip the script and they can ignore their own crimes and be able to cover up their own crimes as a kind of a hand in hand with the military crimes is the media to help cover up their complicity.
Okay. Well, Aman, who's responsible to prevent starvation from being used as a weapon of war? We seem to have quite a delay.
No Rules Special. Welcome to the program. This is Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. We are with you with the live coverage of Nowruz. This is IRIB English Radio.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, I'm Mehran Derakhshande, hosting this program, Nowruz Special. Nowruz, of course, is the Iranian New Year. With my colleague
I'm Atef Erfani.
Welcome to our Nowruz special. We're with you live with celebrations of Nowruz, the Iranian New Year. And this is our special Nowruz program. We congratulate all of our listeners on the auspicious occasion, on the auspicious coincidence of Nowruz with the spring equinox and the start of the blessed fasting month of Ramadan. And of course, today is the 9th of Ramadan. We're also in the blessed fasting month of Ramadan. A very happy Nowruz and Ramadan Kareem to all our listeners.
And the order of our today's special feature are as follows. The recitation of the supplication for the start of the new year. The announcement of the moment of the turn of the new year, 1403. The airing of the speech of the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, as well as President Dr. Sayyid Ibrahim Raisi. Later during the program, my colleague and I are going to talk about Nowruz customs and traditions, the history of Nowruz and Nowruz in different countries. We are also going to review the most important events of our country.
It's time for a short break. We'll be back.
Welcome back. Many thanks for being with us. The new Iranian calendar year 1403 is just minutes away, and we accompany you as the new year turns. As we are celebrating Nowruz in Iran, some of our listeners in Kyrgyzstan, Iraq, Republic of Azerbaijan, Tajikistan, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Georgia, India, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, and Turkey are also celebrating Nowruz. For your information, for the first time, Nowruz was registered on September 30, 2009 by UNESCO.
And Nowruz, the Iranian New Year, has been celebrated for thousands of years by various nations in Asia as the greatest and most popular feast. The geography of Nowruz is very vast and includes many countries. Nowruz is celebrated in Iran, in Afghanistan, in Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, the Republic of Azerbaijan, in Turkey, in Syria, in Iraq, and parts of Pakistan and India. Nowruz extends from Western China to Turkey, from the Indian subcontinent to Afghanistan, and also it is celebrated in much of Central Asia. All of these regions circle Iran as the cradle of the Islamic Iranian civilization.
Nowruz is actually, sorry to interrupt you, Nowruz is the feast of regeneration and thriving. In an area of almost 10 million square kilometers, over 300 million people mark this great event. And most of these peoples mark their calendar on the basis of Nowruz.
And Nowruz, the Iranian New Year, has, in spite of different historical ups and downs, survived. And it is, Nowruz, of course, is very much in tune with nature and human moralities. Nowruz calls for giving up hostility, enmity, spite, ill-wishing, and vices. And it means cleanliness, purity of soul, and beauty. These values have played a significant role in strengthening of peace, friendship, love among nations.
Thank you. Welcome back. This is the live coverage of Nowruz Special, and it's 6:29 a.m. Tehran time. Dear listeners, just after the announcement of the arrival of the new Iranian calendar year, 1403, we are going to broadcast the speech of the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, as well as the speech of Iranian President Dr. Sayyid Ibrahim Raisi. The leader of the Islamic Revolution has designated, actually designates every new year with a motto. And for example, this year, 1402, Iranian calendar year, was named as Inflation Control Growth in Production. Such an insightful approach is meant to strengthen the pillars of national economy, act as an impetus for the economy, and turn Iran into an economic and scientific power, not just in the region, but globally. And these names are not just symbolic, but they give Iranians a new perspective for development and progress. So, as the new year is ushered in, we are looking forward to hearing the leader's new motto for the year 1403.
Okay, we're back with our Nowruz special, the Iranian New Year. And one of the traditions of Nowruz is called the Hafsin table, or the Hafsin spread. And that means Iranians arrange seven things, with beginning with the letter S, on their table or spread. And this means that the Hafsin spread is usually has on it senjed or oyster olives. Then we have green grass or green vegetation. That symbolizes the link between human beings and nature.
Did also, you mention apple?
That's right. And we have apples as well, the symbol of kindness, love and affection. And we have coins, symbol of blessings, prosperity, and wealth.
And vinegar.
That's right. And vinegar as well. And also we have samanu, which is a type of sweet made from young shoots of wheat plus flour. Samanu symbolizes goodness and blessings.
And I'm sure at this time, most of Iranians and those people who in their country celebrate Nowruz are gathering together around a table, a Hafsin tablecloth and Hafsin spread, and they're waiting for the moments that the time of the new year, the turn of the new year comes.
That's right. The tradition of Hafsin table or Hafsin spread has other components too. Now, depending on the region of Iran, often seen on the Hafsin table or Hafsin spread, there is the Holy Quran, a mirror, candles, bread, a crystal bowl full of water, and hyacinths. So, the new Iranian year, which is just about less than 2 minutes from now.
We will go for a short break and then we will be back with you. Well, dear listeners, we are just moments away from the new Iranian calendar year with greetings to the 12th infallible era of Prophet Muhammad and the savior of mankind, Imam Mahdi, who will reappear to cleanse the earth from the vestiges of oppression and exploitation and establish the global government of peace, prosperity and justice. We listen to the recitation of the supplication for the start of the new year.
O rotator of hearts and eyes, O regulator of the day and night, O transformer of the state and conditions, turn our state into the best of states. It's now time for our Nowruz celebration. We'll be back.
Happy New Year, 1403.
Happy Nowruz, and the new Iranian year, 1403, has just started. Congratulations to all our listeners.
Yes, the new Iranian year is started. Literally, we wish a year filled with prosperity, good health, happiness for all our listeners and for all people around the world, especially people in Palestine and in Gaza.
That's right. We wish all our listeners prosperity, good health, and happiness. Okay, this is our Nowruz special, the Iranian New Year. And we can say that Nowruz, the Iranian New Year, is a major festivity and an important part of the rich, flourishing culture of the Iranian people. All Iranians gather around the Nowruz table or the hafsin spread and they celebrate the moment the New Year begins. And Nowruz is quintessentially Iranian. There are many customs associated with Nowruz. Nowruz, of course, represents renewal, a renewal of close ties between man and nature. With the arrival of spring, nature puts on a new clothes, and Iranians too wear new clothes on Nowruz or New Year's Day. The first day of Nowruz is the first day of spring and the first day of the new year. Nowruz brings with it peace, friendship and kindness, and is an opportunity for friendship, reconciliation and peace with the world. It's an opportunity which is rooted in the ancient customs of Iran.
Welcome back. This is the live coverage of a Nowruz special, and we are with you. This is actually the live coverage of Nowruz special, and it's 6:39 a.m. Tehran time. As you may know, Nowruz is celebrated at the spring equinox, the start of the spring season. A very old and well-established tradition in Iran for ushering in the new year is to lay the spread of haftsin on the floor or, alternatively, to lay the table of haftsin in one's home. And, dear listeners, as we said, we are going to broadcast the leader's message. Let's take a listen.
The compassionate. O transformer of hearts and sights, O director of nights and days, O transformer of situations and circumstances, transform our circumstances to the best of circumstances. I would like to extend my congratulations to the entire Iranian nation on the arrival of Nowruz and the beginning of this new year, which has coincided with the blessed month of Ramadan, the spring of the hearts and the spring of spirituality. I would especially like to extend my congratulations to the families of the war veterans, as well as all the other nations who celebrate Nowruz. I would also like to pay my respects to our dear martyrs and the Imam of the martyrs who paved this path for the Iranian nation. I hope the Iranian nation will benefit from both the springs, both the spring of nature and the spring of spirituality. Let's review the year 1402, which has just ended, and take a look at the year that we have just entered. The year 1402, just like all the other years of our lives, was filled with both sweet and bitter moments. It was filled with both desirable and undesirable events. This is the nature of the world and the nature of life itself. In the country's internal affairs, we saw significant progress throughout the country in the fields of science, technology, and basic infrastructure. These were some of the pleasant things that we experienced. On the other hand, the problems that people encountered with regard to the economy and their livelihood were some of the bitter events that we witnessed. The epic participation of the people in the Quds Day and the 22nd of Bahman rallies, these magnificent rallies being carried out in safety, the elections being held in safety, and at the end of the year, another situations where the public displayed their presence with some of the pleasant, desirable events that took place during the year that has passed. The tragic event that took place in Kerman on the martyrdom anniversary of Martyr Soleimani, the floods that swept through Balochistan at the end of the year, the occurrences that our security forces and our maintainers of security have encountered during the past few months were among the bitter events that we witnessed during the past year. And the most tragic of all was the tragic event that occurred in Gaza, an event that holds great importance in our international affairs. We did not experience anything more tragic than that this year. Regarding foreign matters, the government's actions in the international arena, in various economic and political fields, were some of the pleasant, desirable events. As I have already mentioned, the tragic event in Gaza was not just one of the most tragic events, rather, it was the most tragic event for us in the international field. I ask Almighty God to compensate for these bitter events and to continue granting the Iranian nation and the Muslim nations pleasing events, and that which is a source of goodness and blessings for the Islamic Ummah and the Iranian nation. As for the slogan that I announced in 1402, which was inflation control and growth in production, good measures have been taken. Accomplishments have been made regarding both sections of the slogan, and progress has been made, but not to the extent that was desired. God willing, I will address this in more detail in my speech today to the Iranian nation. The measures that were taken were good, but they must continue. This slogan is not one that we should expect will yield a desirable result in just 1 year. It shall continue. در سالی که پیش روی ماست و وارد اون شدیم کارهای زیادی هست که بایستی انجام بگیره و باید خودمون رو به اون متعهد. There is a great amount of work that needs to be done in the year ahead of us that we have just entered, and we must fulfill our responsibilities with regard to the tasks at hand. Our country's officials, our government officials, the parliament, the judiciary, the public, and others, all of us need to fulfill our duties for the various tasks in different areas. But the main issue the country is facing again this year is the economy. The country's main weakness is in the field of economics. We must be active in this field. After studying the opinions of the experts on this subject, I have come to this conclusion that the key to solving the country's economic problems lies in production, domestic production, national production. This is why we have focused so much on production over the past few years. If growth in production and advancements in domestic production are pursued in a suitable manner, many of the country's key economic issues, such as inflation, employment, and the value of our national currency, will be solved in a desirable manner. Therefore, production is an important issue, and that is why I am once again focusing on this matter this year. I expect, I'm anticipating, God willing, that we will witness a surge in production. In addition to this, I truly believe that this surge will not take place without the presence and participation of the people. If we plan to increase our production rapidly, we need to get the people actively involved in the economy. We must pave the way for the people to get involved in production in a tangible manner and remove the obstacles that stand in the way to their participation. There are great capacities in the public sector, which I will explain, God willing. These capacities must become active. They should be used for the benefit of the country and the people. It is for this reason that the slogan that I have chosen for this year is Surge in Production Through People's Participation. This is the slogan for this year. I hope, God willing, this slogan will be actualized in the best possible way. It is necessary for those who are making the plans for the country to create plans for expats to collaborate by providing their thoughts, and for those who are active in the economic sector to, God willing, actively participate in this endeavor. I pray that Almighty God will grant the great beloved Iranian nation success, and I humbly extend my greetings to the remnant of God on earth. May our souls be sacrificed for His sake. I ask God to hasten His reappearance, as this in turn will bring relief to all of humanity. May God's greetings, mercy, and blessings be upon you.
And as leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei.
Well, dear listeners, you just heard the speech delivered by the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. And as you heard, the leader of the Islamic Revolution designated the new Iranian calendar year 1403 as the year of surge in production through people's participation. And my colleague, you wanted to recap his speech?
That's right. The leader greeted the Iranian nation. He greeted families of martyrs and all countries which celebrate Nowruz. But let us now go over to the speech by Iranian President Dr. Sayyid Ebrahim Raisi.
And his progeny, O transformer of hearts and sights, O director of nights and days, O transformer of situations and circumstances, transform our circumstances to the best of circumstances. I wish to congratulate all my fellow countrymen on the arrival of Nowruz. I particularly congratulate the families of martyrs and war veterans. And I congratulate all nations who celebrate Nowruz. The Iranian national rituals are the most pure and ethical rituals of history. For centuries, our nation has preserved Nowruz, and it has, during Nowruz, people visit their relatives, and it's a source of kindness and generosity, and it is accompanied with the recitation of the Noble Quran and supplications and praying to God. And this year, the spring of nature has coincided with the spring of Quran and the month of Ramadan. So that leads to the emergence of spirituality, and it has a more special status in the supplications of the arrival of the new year. We ask God to transform our situations into the best of circumstances, so that we'll be able to turn the points of weakness into points of strength. Hopefully this year would be a year of success for and prosperity for the Iranian nation in all arenas. 1402 was accompanied with many ups and downs. There were major events unfolding, and it was filled with sweet and bitter moments. But speaking of the outcome of events, I can refer to further growth and prosperity of the great nation of Iran in all sectors. And the leader termed the year 1402 as the year of control of inflation and an increase in production, and the government focused on realizing this slogan. The economic growth in general in the year 1402, based on official statistics, was at least 6%, and there has been 4% growth in the past 3 years, and the
کمتر از 1% بود است.
Average economic growth was less than 10% during the 90s. So, alongside increasing production, we had the inflation control. You can remember that since the start of this administration, some individuals claimed that there's going to be a three-digit inflation, but today that I'm speaking with you, those skeptical predictions did not realize, and today we have decreasing inflation. So it has reached 35% from 55%, and there has been such a decrease in inflation, and general inflation will be around 40%. This means that during 1 year, there has been the 20% units of decrease in inflation. This means that through people's participation and collaboration of people from different economic sectors, we have gone through a principle, we have pursued a principled approach aimed at reducing inflation and having sustainable economic growth. The people know very well that this does not mean that there's not going to be any rise in prices, but there are still weaker people from the economic view. They are under pressure, but last year there has been improvement in the rate of employment, and there was a fall in the unemployment in autumn, and it was in 7%, to hit the figure of 7%.
بخشی از اشتغال ایجاد شده در قالب نهضت احیای بنگاه‌های تولیدی تعطیل.
This was done through the revival of many corporations that were closed earlier. There are ongoing investments and projects are being completed, and this country has turned into a workshop for construction and hope. Instead of investments that will be realized in the upcoming years, the government could use that capital for daily spending. We have had those experiences in the past that harmed the development of the country, but as the wise leader our wise leader mentioned, the government did not allow the future of the country to be victimized for just daily spendings. Allow me to mention some of the basic measures that have been taken up. In 1400, 2 years, I mean 2 days after the endorsement ceremony, I traveled to Khuzestan. And I visited several cities in Khuzestan, and the people were concerned about water. It was also in Sistan and Baluchistan, in Bushehr, in Kerman, even in Kurdistan, in Hamadan provinces. The people were concerned about water, and the ill wishers of this country, they tried to. They claimed that certain parts of the country will not be able to live in those parts of the country because of shortage of water. But you see, many projects have been fulfilled in every provincial visit. Several water-related projects are being completed. I can refer to 3 water transfer projects from the Persian Gulf and the Sea of Oman to the eastern provinces, and also there's an endeavor for transfer of water to villages, and that will hit the figure of 5,000 villages where water will be transferred to these villages. The other issue is housing. At the start of this administration, the housing had turned into a major problem, and there was backwardness in construction, and there was some sort of confusion in this sector. 240,000 mayor housing units were not completed, and it was a commitment for the government. Today, 2.4 million housing units are under construction. Half of those mayor housing units have been delivered to the people, and the other half will be completed, and people will receive their houses very soon. in the production of electricity and gas, similar to the housing sector, considerable measures have been taken. This government is proud to be a popular administration. It moves alongside the people, stands by the people, and